people who are in poor health later in life are also more vulnerable in a pandemic, such as the current COVID-19 emergency. And that's one more reason to take the basic precautions to stop the spread of the disease. And now some more research, this time from the US, shows there's a significant difference between the sexes when it comes to following the guidelines. Irmak Olcusoy-Okden is a researcher in psychology at New York University, and she's the lead author of the study. And no surprises for guessing which gender is more likely to do the right thing. I guess there are plenty of studies in the past that show that in general, and it's certainly relevant here in New Zealand, women tend to adhere more to preventive health practices than men do. So perhaps you weren't surprised by your findings that women are having a different kind of attitude to pandemic preparations than men were.
Yes, Colin, you're completely right. We were not surprised by the findings. Like you said, actually, in the research, we also observed that, like, women in past research, women made more frequent visits to doctors. They tend to follow recommendations from doctors more carefully. They spend, for example, more time in doctors' offices. They ask more questions. So overall, they seem to be more concerned about their health. You might imagine these findings are especially critical now because the prevention is not only about yourself now. It's also about reducing the spread of the virus. So it's not only an individual goal, I should say. It's more like a collective goal and responsibility to kind of engage in these practices.
You actually compared women and men during the peak period of the pandemic in the US, didn't you?
Yes, exactly. So we did three studies. The first study was a survey study, and we did it early April, which was the peak period. And then we did an observation study, which was early May. And then we did a larger study, a county-level analysis of social distancing, which was from the beginning of March to late May, actually, again, the peak period.
That makes it pretty complicated, doesn't it? An on-the-street survey, then also studying, I think, movements through GPS data from something like, I read here, 15 million smartphone coordinates?
Yes, exactly. So it was a big data analysis.
But that's a huge amount of data. So specifically with that, the GPS data, does that help you draw conclusions about social distancing and whether people were moving around less and then restricting the spread of the virus and then comparing those patterns between men and women?
Yes, so the GPS data was even more informative, right? Because we had access to GPS coordinates of almost 15 million people and from 3,000 counties. So we did a big data analysis where we looked whether counties with more male residents were less likely to social distance compared to counties with more female residents, and that was true. And then we controlled for all potential alternative explanations, right? Because you could think maybe that's something to do with the employment status, right? Maybe men had to go to work more often, but that wasn't the case. So we controlled, for example, the occupation distributions at the county level. We controlled for income at the county level. We controlled for example, number of family households versus number of single households at the county level. And none of these actually factors explained the difference. So this was a purely gender difference, we concluded.
Well, how great were the differences, though, when it comes to, say, preventative practices like physical distancing, wearing of masks, and even perhaps, you know, that basic hygiene that we've all been told to observe? Was it evident that there was much greater observance from women than men?
In the survey data, we observe a smaller difference. But that's not surprising because that's self-report, right? You can strategize your responses. But even though there was a small difference, it was statistically significant. That's what we say in scientific actually talk. So it was still high. And we should again keep in mind that survey study was done at the peak period. So there were stay-at-home orders at place. So everybody overall was social distancing at some level, right? But still, we found these differences. So they were significant. And the differences at the observational level and the GPS data were larger. Now we can say it's not about women saying that they are doing it more, but it's more about really women doing it more.
Were you able to draw any conclusions about whether women were more likely also to take on board messages from experts, even if it was stuff they necessarily didn't want to hear, and that even exhibiting alarm and anxiety about it, was there any difference between the genders in those areas?
Yes, there was a difference. So we asked women and men whether they're listening to medical experts when making social distancing decisions and to what extent they're listening. And men reported, women reported a greater tendency to listen to medical experts. And they also paid more attention to their like anxieties and health condition when making these decisions compared to men. So yeah, there were differences in terms of the sources of information they were paying attention to, right? So women were also listening to other data-driven sources, we say, like other countries' experiences. They were more likely to listen to their governor. You know, so they were basically more open to information about social distancing, and they paid more attention, apparently.
So I guess in the end, if we take it back to gender and this difference that you found between men and women, well, as we discussed, we know women are better at preventive healthcare and visiting doctors, men more likely to ignore it and hope it'll go away, I suppose. But, I mean, why is it that when we come to something very specific like a pandemic, not just a sort of ongoing health conditions with which there've been education over years and years and years and background knowledge, when it comes to pandemic, why do you think it is that, you know, there is this difference that you've discovered between men and women?
So our findings were descriptive. So we found these differences, but we don't exactly know why these differences are there, right? But of course, we have some speculations about it based on past research. So there's past research in health areas suggesting that traditional gender norms actually are critical there, right? So these illusions of invulnerability about men, so basically men being invulnerable, more powerful, more dominant, more assertive, and this illusion of maybe not being impacted so much by the pandemic might play a role in the eyes of men. And that's what we suspect. That's what we are actually researching right now. So whether a man are more likely to think that, oh, this is not going to impact me. So I have a good immune system. I can deal with it. That kind of mentality. And of course, we know that this is also fed by all traditional gender norms, might play a big role here.
I guess the question in the end is, what do we do with this information and how we could possibly redress this imbalance between men and women for health and pandemics, because this probably won't be the last one. So does your research then help maybe to fine-tune health messages that can maybe smooth out this difference that you found?
Yeah, exactly. So we suggest three things. First of all, we suggest, fine-tuning health messages should make a difference, right? Especially targeting that potential illusions of invulnerability among men and giving the message that everyone is vulnerable in this situation, right? We all depend on each other to prevent the spread of the virus. So all of us are vulnerable. All of us are in this. So we need to take action. So that's one thing. The other thing that I think is critical is reminding people of their responsibilities about themselves and their others, right? So it's, again, it's not only about you. So it's also about your loved ones, people around you. So you have to take action. And finally, past research suggested maybe encouraging male role models to distribute these messages can make more difference. So we are also suggesting that maybe, you know, encouraging male celebrities that, you know, men look up to give this message might make a difference.
Yeah, and indeed, the one other intriguing thing about this was the use of a research platform called Prolific. You mentioned before that when you have self-survey, you have to treat the responses with a bit of caution because people are probably inclined to report that they're doing the right thing, possibly even though they aren't. We're all familiar with that. But with Prolific, some 800 individuals were compensated to complete short tasks about their social distancing, their stay-at-home habits and hygiene habits and so on. We don't have a whole lot of that in New Zealand, this kind of paid research. And sometimes you'd be skeptical about that if it's an opportunity to make a bit of spare money, maybe that would skew the results. I don't know. But perhaps thinking about it the other way, if we really need good hard data on this, because this is life and death stuff, we need pandemic responses that really work. Is it actually, you know, paying people to be honest and comprehensive about their responses? This is actually really what we do need. We should spend a bit of money to get the maximum possible detail from people. And if we pay them to do it, we're more likely to get better results.
Yes, yeah, so that's actually pretty kind of common method in social psychology research, academic research, paying people, compensating people in some way for their responses. Yeah, I think it might be a good tool.
And finally, Ilmak, one in the, towards the tail of the paper where it addresses this question of what we could do and how this sort of data might inform more effective policies, it says here there's the possibility of a self-regulatory strategy response, which you've called WOOP, W-O-O-P. So I think that stands for, in the first instance, it's quite complicated, but there's a wish to do something, then you have the outcome you have in mind, then the next O is overcoming the barriers or obstructions, and then finally making a plan. So is this the kind of data that would form into that four-stage strategy for actually working out something that might have an effect at the social level?
Exactly. So that's actually an effective self-regulation technique, and it has been used in many different areas, not only increasing preventive health behaviors, but also, you know, motivating you for maybe pursuing a diet, you know, or, you know, helping others and all sorts of, you know, pro-social things. And there's a website which describes this method quite simply. So it's whoopmylife.org. And like you said, it's a four-step simple tool to increase motivated behavior or goal-directed behavior.
Well, good luck with the rest of your research, and I hope you manage to make some progress in making men a little smarter in their responses to the pandemic and alongside women. So thanks so much for joining us, Ilmak Oljasoy-Okten, who is a postdoctoral researcher in psychology at New York University.
Thank you, Colin. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Yes, so no surprise there. Apparently that women are more likely than men to follow expert advice to prevent the spread of COVID-19.